Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Baba Kama, daf Ayin Aleph. Begin on the second line down by the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah. That our Mishnah mentioned a few different halachas related to the concept of Dal Vehei, which is if someone steals and then slaughters or sells the sheep or the ox that he stole, then he's chayav for four or five times the amount. Now the Mishnah mentioned certain cases that, as we'll see, actually similar cases on the next Mishnah, on daf Ayin Dalma Beis, where he'll be exempt. The Mishnah mentioned that these cases are actually going to be chayav in Dal Vehei. One of the cases was, if the guy steals and then slaughters the animal that he stole on Yom Kippur, so although, let's say, if one slaughters on Shabbos, then he's going to be exempt from Dal Behei because of the Chiv Misa, which is Kimla B'Ramine, but on Yom Kippur, where they're just a Chiv Karis, you don't give a Chiv Misa B'Shemayim, that does not exempt you in the halacha of Kimla B'Ramine, and therefore you would be Chayiv, besides the Issa Karis, also the Chiv of Dal Behei of the 4 or 5 times monetary penalty for selling what was stolen. Now, however, the Gemara asked Ami, they said, wait a second, Amai, why is that? And that is, Nehi Digtala Leka, we write, we understand that there's no death penalty to create a Kimla Rabbinay to exempt the greater penalty but the lower penalty, because there is no Chiv Misa Bestin, albeit a Chiv Misa B'Deshamayim, but Malkus Mi'ika, but there's at least a penalty of lashes because of the negative prohibition of slaughtering on Yom Kippur. The Kaimalan, and we know the halacha is, they ain't a loike mishalem. You don't get lashes and pay. So, okay, one thing is you don't get killed and pay. Fine, that you don't have, like if you would slaughter on Shabbos. This is just Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's no chiv misa bestin like there's on Shabbos. But there's at least lashes that you get for slaughtering on Yom Kippur, because there's a negative prohibition of doing that, which chiv leis to say gets you lashes. Now, we know that you don't get lashes and pay, so why, even on Tavach Yom Kippurim, is there going to be a chiv dal behei? There should be kimle b'drabani, there should be an ain loike mishalem. So I mean, they said, Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah? Reb Meir, it's like Reb Meir. The Amadeh, he says in Masech Tzmakas of Dalim and Aleph, regarding a case where people say, we testify regarding that guy, that he owes this other guy 200 zuz. It turns out that there was a min, which means to say two other witnesses come along and say, hey, how could you have said that you saw him owe him 200 zuz on that day? You with us on that day, must be you're lying. So says Reb Meir, that like U'mishalim, those witnesses, A, they get lashes, and B, they have to pay that amount that they were purportedly saying that guy owed the other guy, which is the halacha of Hazama. Now, the reason for that is because he says over there, Loi Hashem HaMevin De Makus Mevin De Tashlumen, which is, of course you get both penalties. Because if it was the same act and the same violation that would make two liabilities, okay, then you're only going to get the greater one. But here, why is the witnesses getting lashes? Because of an Isra of Lisan Berecha Eid Shakri, and I'll say false testimony regarding your friend. That's a separate thing. That's an Isra of saying false testimony. That's for that you get lashes. Now, although the same act of saying the testimony was doing that, and also it was doing something of Hazama, which is that they were lying, and then when someone contradicts them, shows them they were lying, they have the monetary penalty of Hazama, but since they're two different things, you get lashes and you pay. So there was no difficulty why here when you're Ganav Tevach B'Yom Kippurim, since there's no death penalty, so therefore, you don't have a kimli rabbinay. And regarding loike mishalom, it's like Rameh who said you are loike mishalom. You do get lashes for the slaughtering in Yom Kippur, which is one thing. And the monetary penalty is for something else. That's for the mechira, which is, that's for the tvicha that you did on Yom Kippur, which is something else. It's not the same lav of slaughtering in Yom Kippur. It's a separate punishment for slaughtering something that you stole. So you are loike mishalom. Now that the Gemara asked Rameh, if the Tanav Mishnah is like Rameh, well then I feel a tavach b'shabbos. Then even if you slaughter on Shabbos, not on Yom Kippur, then even though that there is a Chiv Misa, but who cares? The Chiv Misa is for one thing, the Tashlumin is for something else. Although they're both happening through the same act of the Tvicha, but one is Ister Shabbos of Shechita, and one is the problem of slaughtering something after that you had stolen it. So then Reb Meir should say there also that you're Mesa Mishalim. So why is it that the Tanav Mishnah, which the end of it continues on the next Mishnah, Ayin Dalet, that says no, that if it's only if you sell on Shabbos, but if you slaughter on Shabbos, you're going to be exempt. But why? If it's like Rameya, you should be chayv there too. So now the Gemara says, Navachitem, and if you're going to say Loiku Mishalim Islay, that when does he hold that you get both? That's by lashes and paying, but Mesa Mishalim Lesley, but death penalty and payment, that he doesn't hold that you get both. So the Gemara says, V'loy, is that not so? Does he differentiate? But Vaitanya learned a braisa that says, Gana v'tavach b'shabbos, this same case. Someone steals and then slaughters on Shabbos, or Gana v'tavach l'avoy d'zara, or he steals and he slaughters t'avoy d'zara, which are both things that when you slaughter, you get a chiv misa. Well, that's a gun of shur haniskel v'tavach, or if someone steals an ox that had gored and it's supposed to be stoned, and then he slaughters it, where although Shar HaNiskal is something that's already Asub Hana, he's still going to be liable for the Tevich HaMechir, as the Gemara will explain later on, Amud Beis. The halacha is, Mishama Bava Chamisha, Divrei Meir. Meir holds that you're liable for Dal Vehei, but Chacham Paitin, however, the Chacham say that you're exempt. Now, the Chacham say you're exempt because, like the halacha of our Mishnah, because Kim Libri Ramnei, you can't be Mesa Mishalim. But seemingly, clearly, we see Rameir holds that when you do slaughter on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayiv. Because not only are you like a Mishalim, you're also Mesa Mishalim. So back to the question. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? It can't be Rameir to say that you're like a Mishalim, because then why aren't you also Mesa Mishalim? As we see, Rameir holds that you are Mesa Mishalim. So why by Tavach HaMachar, but Shabbos, why when you slaughter on Shabbos, did we say you're going to be exempt? So Amri, they said, no. It's actually as the Gemara said, the V'chitema. Meaning there is a difference. Loike Mishalmi holds yes, which explains the halacha, why Tavach B'Mikipurim, you're going to be Chayv V'Tal B'Hei, even though you get Malkus, for the Isra of slaughtering Yom Kippur. But Mesa Mishalmi holds no. You don't get the death penalty and having to pay. That explains the other halacha regarding Tavach B'Shabbos, that you're getting the death penalty, you're going to be exempt from Tal B'Hei. Now, so how do we understand this Brisa, which seemingly said clearly that halacha that Ramey was talking about when you're slaughtering on Shabbos, that you would be chayav dal v'hei? So that's what the Gemara says, except for that Brisa. Because the Ha'id Ma'alo, we explained regarding that Brisa that Amr B'Yakov, Amr B'Yechanan, and Vamilan, some say it was actually Amr B'Yirmiya, Amr B'Shim B'Lakish, that Reb Oven V'Reb Elah, V'Chol Chavrusa, and the whole colleagues, Mishmid Reb Yechanan, Amr, and Neb Yechanan, said that Brisa is Tovam B'Tevecha De'Achar. The guy himself didn't slaughter it. The thief hired someone else to slaughter it. I'm not a sheikh, I don't know how to slaughter it. You slaughter it. So therefore, when that guy slaughters it on Shabbos, he's not chayiv misa the ganav, because he didn't slaughter it. That other guy slaughtered it. Now, so therefore, he could be liable for the tvicha of dal vehei when it was slaughtered on Shabbos, because there's no kamli rabbinei. And that's why you could be chayiv dal vehei. But you're right, if he himself did it, of course, Rabbi would agree that ain't a mesa mishalim, you don't get the death penalty and have to pay. You would only get killed and not be chayiv dal vehei. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You're explaining that he slaughtered through someone else. So you're telling me, the shliach, he sins, he slaughters something that shouldn't be, v'zem is chayiv, and the one who sent him is going to be liable for the payments of dal v'hei? But we know the halacha is, as brought in Masechet Kedushin of Membeis, that ain't shliach l'dva aveira, we do not see an agency that's for a sin. This is something that's not allowed to be slaughtered. How can we can connect the shliach slaughtering to the Mishaleach, to the Ganev, to make him liable for the Dal V'Hei for slaughtering when he didn't do it, and the other guy did it, which is not allowed to be done. So Amar Rabbi says, you're right, generally, Ein Shlichut V'Avera, and then we wouldn't make him liable for Dal V'Hei if he didn't slaughter it. But Shani Hacha, in this halacha, is different. Because the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, there's two ways to be chayv 4 or 5 times the amount of the payment from something that you stole. The Torah says, V'tvacha Machare, either that you slaughter it or you sell it. So we see the Pasuk is comparing the two options, which is Ma'amachir al-de'achar, just like sale is through someone else because you can't sell without two people. You need to have a seller and a buyer. So you see someone else is involved. Avtvich al-de'achar, so through slaughtering, it could also be through someone else, which is through a shliach. So the Torah explicitly includes a shliach, even if though it's l'dva avera. And that's how you could have this case of Tavach b'Shabbos, that you'd be chayv dal v'hei, because he didn't slaughter it, his shliach slaughtered it. And even though someone else did it, he could be liable for it. Just like we see Mechir Zayachar, so to Tvicha. Baby Shmuel Tana and the Brisa of Shiva Shmuel, they taught a different source for this halacha, although it's a Shleich Dvaver, that it would be a Shleich, because Oy Larabbis is a Shleich. It says, Utavachai Oy Mechari. What's Oy Mechari? The or is coming as an extra word to include even if a Shleich does the Mechira. The Bechiski Tana and the Yeshiva of Chiski, they taught, Tachas, the word Tachas is Larabbis as the Shliach. That's an extra word including a Shliach. Because really, when it says Tachas Asher, it could have written Yishalim Bishar. That for stealing or selling, he'll pay that five times for slaughtering it. It could have said Yishalim Bishar. It would say Tachas Asher to include even a Shliach. Those are three different sources where, yes, the Tana of the Mishnah could be like a mayor. There is a difference between Mesa Mishalim and Loike Mishalim. He holds that you are Loike Mishalim, but you're not Mesa Mishalim. That answers those two points of the halacha of Mishnah. Although the Brisa said clearly that Rameir says by Tavach B'Shabbos, you are chayv dal v'hei, that was through a shliach, as we see these three different sources, that although it's a dvar avera, you could have a shliach with the halacha of Mechira for something that was stolen. Now, however, the Gemara asks a different question. Maskevla Mazutra. He asks, Mi kemidi, is it really that there could be such a thing? The ilo avid ihu loy mechayv. If he were to do it, he wouldn't be liable. In other words, if the Ganav would slaughter on Shabbos, he wouldn't be chayiv. As we said, because when you slaughter on Shabbos, you're only going to get the death penalty, not the dal v'hei. And yet if the shlich does it, he would be liable. We know that the shlich is not as more severe than the guy himself. So if the guy himself wouldn't be liable, how could his shlich be liable for something that he's only as a kamaisa as the guy himself, and the guy himself would be exempt? So Rav Ashi says, no, hasam over there, when the guy himself would do it and he'd be exempt, and we explained the similar svar in the previous stuff, it's not because he's really, that he's not liable. Of course you're liable in the monetary payment. But there's just halacha that says we cannot enforce the penalty of the lower violation. We just do the greater penalty. But of course, the liability is there. We just cannot enforce it. So therefore, when the shliach does, who doesn't get the who's only getting, he is doing one thing, of course we could say that the mishaleach is going to get the penalty. Because even when he does it himself, he is getting the penalty. We just cannot enforce it. So here when the shlich does it on Shabbos, yeah, he's going to get death penalty for Shechti on Shabbos. But his shlichus is being attributed to the Meshaleach. What he's doing could be kamaisai as the Meshaleach to make the Meshaleach be chayiv in that tficha on Shabbos. Because even when he does it himself, he is chayiv. We just can't enforce it just because it's kibbutz rabbin, they will only give him the greater penalty, but the liability is there, and therefore it could also be through his shlich. Now, so the Gemara asks now, if that's the way we're resolving the Allah, who's the town of our Mishnah? Now, so we had a question in the Braisa, but said, wait, Remeir can't be the town of a Mishnah. He holds that you are Mesa Mishalem. He said, no, it's not Mesa Mishalem. It's actually through someone else. That's why he holds that you're going to be Chayiv. So the Gemara asks, so if Remeir holds that the guy's going to be Chayiv for the slaughtering on Shabbos, is because he didn't do it himself, he had someone else do it, and therefore the liability he could be Chayiv for, because there's no Kim Rabbanei for him anymore. So my time in the Rabban, the Patrick, so how do we understand? Why did Rabban, who say over there that patron, why are they Potter? We originally assumed the reason why they say it's Pater is because they hold Kim Ramaneh. And Remeir held that there's no. You could even be Mesa Mishalem. But then we say he holds no, that you're not Mesa Mishalem, it's through someone else. So why would Rabban hold that you're Pater? Of course, everyone agrees that a Shliach, in this case, could make the Mishaleh Chayiv. And if he's not getting the death penalty, he should be Chayiv in Dal Behei. So Ami, they said, Man Chachamim, who of the Chachamim in that Brayis that hold that you're going to be Pater in those cases, it's Reb Shimon. The Amma that he says, Shchita she'inu ruya lo shma shchita. He says a slaughtering which is not going to be halachically classified as a shchita, as we learned this on the previous daf, the Reb Shimon in the previous Mishnah was poit b'shnei elu because they weren't a shchita, because it was a treifa, a chul mazara. He's the Tana of this Braisa where these are shchitas she'inu ruyas. They're not going to be kashering the animal by the slaughtering, and therefore it's not called a shchita, and that's why they hold it. You're going to be potter. Yes, of course, that. There should be, it is being attributed to the owner. But what? Not a tzvicha, it's not called a shechita. So the Gemara asked to explain this halacha. I mean, they said, wait a second. Bishlem avodah zarah v'shar haniskel. We understand those two of the halachas of the Braisa, when let's say he slaughters it for avodah zarah, or when he slaughters a shar haniskel, which is an ox that's supposed to be stoned, he's supposed to get a death penalty, where those are shechita shen ruihi. Even if you slaughter the animals, it's not doing a slaughtering to kasha the animal, because those are animals that have isur hana, they're forbidden to have any benefit from it. As Gemara says in Masechta Zavodah Zarah, that although that they said that if a person bows down to his friend's animal, it doesn't make it forbidden, but if he does an action to it, which is slaughtering it for Zavodah Zarah, it makes it asur. So to Shahar Niskel, when it's ready to be stoned, the Gemara elsewhere learns that from a pasuk, it's already considered asur b'ana. So by shechting it, slaughtering, you're not doing anything. Slaughtering is when you're kashering something. You're not making it kosher. You can't even eat it anyway. So I understand those two cases why Reb Shimon hold that you pater, because it's not a tzvicha, it's not a shechita. Ela Shabbos shechita ruyihi, but the case of slaughtering on Shabbos, the gun of a tavach b'Shabbos, the first case, that is going to make the meat kosher, although you get a chiv misa for slaughtering it, but it's a shechita ruyah. So if it is, and we're saying that it's someone else that's slaughtering it, so then why isn't the owner chayiv for dal v'hei, for the tzvicha? That's not like we learned in Mishnah Masechta Schulin. It says, Hashechit b'Shabbos u'b'yom kippurim, someone slaughters an animal on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says, "Ava pishim mischayv benafshe." Even though you're going to get the death penalty, man, either b'dei shemayim or b'dei adam, shchitasik shere. It's a kosher shchita. You slaughtered it. It's kosher food. So then, if it's kosher, shchita ruya. So why does Reb Shimon say if he's the chacham of the brisa? Why do they hold in that case that he's going to be potter if someone else is slaughtering and there's no kim l'ramaneh? So he should be chayiv for the tzvicha. So Ami, they said, "You're right, like that Mishnah Masech Tzchulim, but." Reb Shimon, who's the Tana of this Braisa, Sava the Reb Yochanan Sandla, he holds the Reb Yochanan Sandla. Which, as we're going to see, the Tana, we're going to learn in this Braisa, that he holds that even shachet b'shabbos is a shechita sheinu ruyah. If you do it deliberately, it's not going to kasher the food. You're not going to be able to eat it. And therefore, it's a shechita sheinu ruyah, and therefore, you're going to be potter. Like we learned in the Braisa, there's three different opinions. There's three machlekes. First opinion says, hamavashel b'shabbos, which we're talking about either if you cook, or like in the case that we're talking about, if you slaughter. So if someone cooks on Shabbos, so b'shoigig yeichel, if he cooked by mistake, he didn't realize he was doing the malacha of bishul on Shabbos. So then, even he himself could eat from the food that he made on Shabbos, and even on Shabbos itself. Now, b'mezid lo yoichel, if he did it deliberately, I'm going to cook on Shabbos, then he's not allowed to eat the food on Shabbos, and so too, the same thing would apply not just to him, but even other people. It's just as Rashi points out, since the first halacha of b'shoigig was talking about him, so too the last halacha, when he does deliberately, was also talking about him, as the Gemara explains this in Parakash HaKol Shachtu. That's the Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Behuda Emir, he says, b'shoigig, if he does it by mistake, then Yechel, he himself could eat it only b'matzah Shabbos, only after Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, neither him or others are allowed to eat it. Now, as Rashi explains here too, that since the Seifa, the next case of when he does deliberately, is talking about specifically regarding him, that's why the first halacha also specifically regarding him, but it's not just for him, even other people cannot eat on Shabbos, even if he did it by mistake, only until Matzah Shabbos. Now, b'meizeh, when he does deliberately, cooked on Shabbos deliberately, then lo yoichel, then, and that's the case specifically him, then he's not allowed to eat it, olam is forever. But others could eat it after Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Yechon san lo eimer, and he's the one that Rabbi Shimon's going like, he says, b'shoigig, if the guy cooked by mistake on Shabbos, so ye'ochel matzah Shabbos, it could be eaten on matzah Shabbos, for who? L'acherim, for others, v'loiloi, but not for him. Now, b'mezid, if he cooked deliberately, which this is going to be the same case as what we're talking about when it was slaughtered deliberately on Shabbos, lo yoichel oylames, it cannot be eaten forever, loiloi, v'loi l'acherim, not for him, not for others. That's called a shechita sheinu ruyah, that would be called a bishul sheinu ruyah, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's why in the case of Ganav B'Tavach B'Shabbos, you're going to be pata, as we see that when you do a malacha, Shabbos, the raisa deliberately, that then it's not fit for anybody, which again, for regarding the halacha of shechita, would be called the shechita sheinu ruyah. Now, the Gemara explains, my time Rabbi Yechon HaSanla, what's the reason of his opinion? K'edarsh Reb Chiya, Pischa de Benesi, like Reb Chiya expounded upon this by the entry we have the house of the Nasi. Said it says in the pasuk in Shemayis, Ushmartem es HaShabbos, you should safeguard the Shabbos, ki kodesh lechem, because it's holy for you. So he makes the following comparison. He says, Ma kodesh asa b'chila, just like something that's kodesh, holy, kodeshim. It's forbidden for someone to eat, it's Hashem's. Af ma'is Shabbos, asur b'chila. So the act of Shabbos, which is doing something prohibited on Shabbos, let's say cooking, is also forbidden to be eaten, because we see Shabbos is called ki kodesh, it's considered like kodeshim, which is to do a malacha on Shabbos, would make it forbidden for anyone to eat forever, if it's done deliberately. Now, Ima kodesh asabano, but then I would have thought to say that just like if we're comparing it to kodshim, just like kodshim is forbidden to have not just to eat but even to have any benefit from it, there is halacha me'ila. Af ma'isa Shabbos asabano, I would think also then the act of Shabbos is not only forbidden to eat but even to have any benefit from it. Tamalam alachem, that's what the pasuk there teaches, that it's kodeshi but it's lachem, it's for you, which means say shalachem ye, it should be for you. So although you can't eat it, but you could have benefit from it. Now, yochel afila b'shagig, you would think the halacha of making it forbidden to be eaten would be even if it was done by mistake. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches over there. Mechalel ma'isumas, those who desecrate it will be killed, which is b'mezer matilach. I only told you it's considered kodesh when there's something that's applicable for the chiyuv misa, which is ma'isumas, which is when you do it deliberately. V'lay b'shagig, but not when it's done by mistake. That's why Rabbi Yochanan HaSanla differentiated between b'mezer and b'shagig. But again, when it's done b'mezer, which is like the case of ganav adav b'shabbos, then the halacha is going to be that it's asur olamis for everybody. That's considered a shechita she'ina ru'uya, and that is why, even in that case, Rabbi Shimon said that there's not going to be a chiyuv dal dehei. Now, however, regarding this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan HaSanla that we introduced, the Gemara tells us that actually pligi bar revach of Ravina. This actually was a machlekes revach and Ravina. Chad Amar, one of them says, Maisa Shabbos Dai Raisa. This halacha of an act of Shabbos, meaning violation, let's say, of the halacha of Bishlan on Shabbos, that it's forbidden to be eaten that food. There is one opinion that says that this halacha of Yechon Sanla is a biblical halacha. Chad Amar, Maisa Shabbos Dai Raisa. The other opinion says that, no, this, that it's prohibited, is only rabbinically. So the Gemara explains. Manda Madai Raisa Kedamar. The one who says it's biblical is like we just quoted before, which was from what Reb Chiya had expounded by the house of the Nasi, which is as we see the Psukim comparing it to Kaidish, where therefore that's a biblical halacha, that it's forbidden for everybody forever. Mandam Draban, the one who says only rabbinic, Amakra, he actually says, because the Pasuk says, Kaidish hu, it is Shabbos, meaning Shabbos is Kaidish. Hu kodesh ve'im ma'isav kodesh. Shabbos is holy, but the acts that are done on Shabbos are not like kachim. I mean to say that if someone does a melacha bishul on Shabbos, that it's not going to be considered like kachim to be asa to be eaten. That halacha is only rabbinic halacha. So the Gemara says, so bishlam l'mandom derives according to the opinion that says that the iser of ma'isav Shabbos of, let's say, cooking or slaughtering on Shabbos is a biblical halacha. So amotu, as we continue on to bebe, is lahachi patri rabban. So because of that, we understand why the quote rabbanon, who we explained that's the opinion of Reb Shimon the Braisa, hold that you're going to be exempt in all these halachas, including ganav v'tevel b'Shabbos, because it's a shechita shein eruyahi, as we just explained before. It's not koshering anything for anybody. Biblically, it's forbidden for everyone. But elman damad rabbanon, but according to the other interpretation of Reb Yochanan Salanter's halacha that holds that the whole iser of a lamis for cooking b'mezid on Shabbos is only rabbinically samay patri rabbanon. Then we're back to the question: why did the rabbanon, who we're explaining is Reb Shimon, say that ganav v'tevel b'Shabbos is going to be patam dal behei? But why? The halacha is only rabbinically that you can't eat it, but biblically, it is considered shechita. If it is considered shechita, then it should be a liability for dal v'hei. If, as we said, that because tavach al de'acher, or someone else that's slaughtered, so the mishaleach, the ganav, should be chayv in dal v'hei. So I think my answer is right. According to that opinion, we would have to say that the braisa that says that the chum said patron were asha'ara, or on the other cases, only on a'avaydazar v'shar niskel. It was on those two cases where there, it's going like Reb Shimon, who holds that they're shechita shein eruyah, because they're totally asabana. So regarding those cases where they said poitim, but you're right, regarding the first halacha of ganav v'tevel b'Shabbos, the chachamim, who again was explaining as Reb Shimon, would agree that there would be a liability of dal v'hei, because that, biblically, according to this opinion, this interpretation of Reb Yechonon Sanla, would hold that it's only rabbinically, but midderaisa, it is considered a shechita, and hence, to be chayv dal v'hei. Now the Gemara goes back to this braisa that was this machlekes. V'remeir, Amai Mechayiv Shoyche Lavoydazar. According to Rameyah, who we quoted in this machlekes between him and the Chacham, who we explained as Reb Shimon, why is it that he holds that there's a liability when someone slaughters this animal that he stole from Avoydazar? The problem is as follows. Kiven the Shachet Bab Purta Asra. Once the guy is slaughtering it, just a little bit, then already the animal became Asr Bahana, because it's already qualified as what's called Zivche Mesim. It's already considered something worshipped and slaughtered for idols. Now, the reason being is because, as Rashi explains, the assumption of the Gemara is that the halacha is what's called Yeshne L'shchita Mitchil V'Atzayif. That slaughtering is not only when you finish. When you finish slaughtering through the two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe, that's when the shchita happens. No, it's when you start, it's a one long Maisa shchita. So hence, already from the beginning, when you started the act of slaughtering, it, at that first point that you started even slaughtering, it already became zivche meitzim. It already became something that you did a part of slaughtering for idol worship, which already makes it asbana. In contrast to the tashlumen of dal behei, which as the Gemara will later on actually explain on the beginning of the top of the next daf, that the word utavachai, to be liable for dal behei, it sounds like that you entirely slaughtered it, which is only when you finished the entire act. So therefore, the Gemara's question is as follows. Regarding when you sheichet tavay dezara, the moment that you started slaughtering it, you made it asa ba'anah. Now, idach, the rest of the slaughtering, when you finally finish it, isur hanohu, it was already a isur hanah, veloy demari katavach, and therefore you're not slaughtering anymore the owner's animal. It was already lost from him when you started the act of slaughtering and it became asa ba'anah. It's like as if someone threw the animal into the fire before he slaughtered it, where he's only going to have to pay for the keren and the kevel and nothing more. Why is there a liability of dal v'hei? It wasn't his before you got to the liability of a tavach of dal v'hei. It was already asa ba'anah. It's already not his. It's already like as if you burnt it already before you finished the act of shechita. So why does Rameh hold that you're going to be chayav dal v'hei in such a case? So Amar Rava. So Rava says, but Omer, it would have to be talking about a case where the guy who's slaughtering it says b'gmar zvichu avda, that he only wants to worship the avodah zara when he completes the act of the slaughtering and not in the beginning. So therefore, it doesn't become asavah. No, when you start, it only happens at the end. It's at that moment when you finished. We're there. Then since you finished and it was done through someone else, so therefore he's not getting the chiv misa, and therefore that attribution of the shechita could be attributed to him because it was only at the end when they finally made the tvicha that it became asa b'hanah, because only at the end, and that's why he could be chayiv dal v'hei. Now, the Gemara has a different question. Shahar Niskel, the other case, of the ox that's supposed to be stoned. Question is, isur hanoninu. That's something that is already considered asa b'hanah before it's even slaughtered. and therefore lav demarikar tavach, and therefore he's not slaughtering the owner's animal. Why is it that there's going to be a liability of davahe? Davahe is only when it's still the original owner's. You stole it and you slaughtered. Here it's not his anymore. It's already gone because already asa b'hanah because of the fact that it's shara nisko. So you're not slaughtering his animal. His way has nothing to do with his. He has no benefit whatsoever, even before it's stoned. So why is there a liability of davahe? So Rabbi explains, you're right, Hachma Eskina, what we have to be told about in this case of the Shahan Niskal is, for example, in the following case. Shemisarai, that the original owner gave over this animal, Lushaymer, to a watchman to watch this animal before it gored a person, which would make it liable for skila. Now, the Hizik Bebei Shaymer, now when it was in the household, under the jurisdiction of the Shaymer, it was at that point that it injured a person, which would make it liable to be stoned. And Behuid Bebei Shaymer, and it became a Shaymer Muid in the house of the Shaymer, which when it becomes a Shaymer Muid, then it has to be stoned. Now, the Nigmar Din Bebei Shaymer. Moreover, the court case was concluded in the house of the Shaymer, that they finished the court case, and it has to be taken out to be stoned. It was at that point that this Ganav came and stole it from the Shaymer, and then he slaughtered it, this Shahar Niskal. Now, on that, the Gemara explains, the mayor, first of all, to explain his opinion in this halacha of being chayiv on the tficha of the Shahar Niskal, in the case that we just described, Savlik Reb Yaakov, we have to see he holds like Reb Yaakov, and Mr. Reb Shimon, he holds like Reb Shimon. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, Savlik Reb Yaakov, holds like Reb Yaakov, the Amad that he says, and this is brought at the end of Perek Shosh Nogrech Tal Behei, Af Mishenigmer Dinoi, even after the conclusion of the court case, where this animal that this Shemir was watching, which he has responsibility and liability to the guy that gave it to him to watch, that nothing should happen to his animal, even at the conclusion of the court case, Rabbi Yaakov says, Hechziru Shemir Labailim, if the Shemir returns it to the owners, when the court case, they're about to take the animal out to be stoned, he quickly goes and returns it to the owner, says Rabbi Yaakov Muchzer, it's considered like he returned it, and he could tell the owner, what's called Harishal Chol Lefanecha, here, your ox, it's exactly like you gave it to me, here, take it back. Now, that's not obviously what utility does it have, but that's the halacha because there's no obvious damage to the animal that he gave him to watch. He could give it back to him as is. Now, what comes out, that is, even though this Shahar Niskal, you're right, it's asbano, there's no benefit whatsoever for anybody from this animal, but still, when the ganav steals from the shomer, it's something what's called goyim lamamin. It's a causation for money. Why? Because as long as the animal is still alive, that this ganav didn't steal it and slaughter it, the shomer could have exempted himself from owing the owner the value of the shur, because he could just give it back to him as is. Now, if it gets lost, he's going to have to pay all the value of the shur back to the owner, because that was his responsibility as a shomer to watch the animal. So, first of all, this is like Rabbi Meir holds a Rabbi Yaakov. Now, moreover, meaning to say that this is a dova goyim lamamin, because by stealing it now, although the animal has no value, but it's worth the whole value of the shur to the shomer, because now he's going to have to pay up to the owner. Moreover, the sub of the Krib Shimon, Rabbi also holds the Krib Shimon, the Amad Dava Grim Lamaman, that he holds such a halacha by something that's a causation for money. It itself is not worth money, but it could cause a value of money. Is Kamaman Dami, has the same halachic status like money. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah Daf, Ayin Dal Mabez, that Rabbi Shimon, he says, regarding a ganav that steals kachin, he steals a carbon from the household of the owner who's going to bring that carbon. Now, if that owner accepted upon himself Shechai Bachar Yusin, that he's going to be responsible for the liability of this carbon. For example, let's say he says, Harei Olai Oila. Halacha is, when you say, it is upon me, there's a responsibility under all circumstances to then bring that carbon. Versus if you say, Harei Zu, it's Kaddish, and if it gets lost, okay, Kachim lost it, the Beis HaMikdash lost it, but if you say, Harei Olai, and then he just separates an animal, the liability, if it gets lost or stolen, he'll have to bring a new one. So, says Rabbi Shimon, if someone steals that carbon, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv, Kafel and Dal Vehei to that person. Now, because although that carbon is not that owner's carbon, it's actually that of Hektish, but since it's a Goyim Lamamin, it causes money. Why? Because if it dies in his possession, he's going to have to repay it, so it's like his. So, you see that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that Davah HaGoyim Lamamin Kamamin Dami, that something that causes money is like money. So says Rava, that's the halacha of Remei regarding the Shahar Niskal. That it's again a case of a shomer who you steal from him the Shahar Niskal who is about to go stone, where by stealing it from him you just took away his opportunity to pay back the owner with the ox as it is. So that's a cause for money, which again the reason why it's a cause for money is because like Rabbi Yaakov holds that you could give the animal as is. Moreover, he holds like Rabbi Shimon holds that when you make a loss for someone of something that's davar garem lamamon, it's like as if you caused him a loss of mamon itself, like we find by when you steal kach from someone else, where it's not his, but it's garem lamamon, because if that gets lost, he'll have to bring a new carbon. And then, therefore, when you steal from that person, you're chayftim kevon dal vehei. So, to hear also where it's a garm lamamim for the shayim, when you steal from the shayim niskel, it's kamam and dami, and therefore you're going to be chayiv in that case of slaughtering the shayim niskel to the shaymer, the halacha of dalad vehei. Now, however, the Gemara goes back to what we were saying on Amr Aleph, and Amr Avkana. Avkana says, Amrita lishmaita kamedra of zid min arda. I said the following teaching in front of zvid from arda, that can you really explain, as we start off the daf, that to explain the halacha of our Mishnah? We had a question. We said, wait a second. Why when you steal and you slaughter Yom Kippur, are you going to be chayiv and dalad vehei? What do you mean? There's like you're not like a mishalim. You get lashes at least for slaughtering Yom Kippur. So we explained it's Kriya Meir. It's like Reb Meir, who he's the only one that we know that says this halacha of that you could be like a mishalim. And however, he holds that you're not meis mishalim. On that, the Gemara asks, but what? But like Reb Shimon? Not like Reb Shimon? In other words, because we only know Reb Meir is the one that says like a Mishalim. So seemingly, it could only be like Reb Meir, because no one else, including Reb Shimon, holds that you're like a Mishalim. But on that, asks the Gemara, Vokatani Sefer, we learned at the end of our Mishnah, that Reb Shimon paid the Mishnei Elo. Reb Shimon exempts by these last two halachas, that because they were considered Shechita Sheina Ruya, which is, for example, a Chulin Ba'azara, or if it turns out to be a treva, where it's not a valid Shechita, so he holds it's not considered Shechita in Halacha, because Shechita Sheina Ruya. So regarding those two cases, you're going to be exempt from Dalad Vehei. But as the Gemara Machlal, but the inference is, the Bekula Masnit Maida, that regarding the rest of the Mishnah, including the Halacha of Ganav V'Tavach B'Yom Kippurim, that Reb Shimon would agree to the Halacha that you be Chayav Dalad Vehei. But how? If you're saying the halacha is like a meir because like a mishalim, Reb Shimon doesn't hold of like a mishalim, but seemingly he agrees to the halacha because we see that he only disagrees regarding the last two halachas, but that halacha he would agree to. How do we understand it? So Amali, he said to me, no. Mechlal, the only inference is not that he agrees to all the halachas of the Mishnah. Could be he disagrees on that halacha of Ganav V'Tavach B'Yom Kippurim, because that's only like a meir. But the inference was only regarding the last four halachas of the Mishnah. That was a separate category of things which you would think that you'd be exempt from Tvicha. Because, like, let's say the first two halachas were that when you slaughter it for therapeutic reasons or for the dog, where it wasn't for consumption things. Or the last two, which is a treif or chum bazar, which you can't even eat from it anyway. So it's regarding those four halachas that the Tanna Kamma said that you're going to be chayv, because you slaughtered. On that, Reb Shimon says, no, regarding the last two, he disagrees because it's not a shechita ruya. But Mechlal, the inference is, the Maida that he agrees, not on the rest of the Mishnah, but the other first two cases, B'tavichu macha l'refuah u'leklavim, that when you slaughter or you sell for therapeutic reasons or for the dogs, that was what it was necessary for the Mishnah to say, that although Reb Shimon holds Shechita Sheina Ruya lo yishma Shechita, but those first two halachas are Shechita Ruya, they're fit to be eaten if you wanted to. Now, you weren't slaughtering for that intent, but that would still be considered Shechita Ruya, and there Reb Shimon would agree. But regarding Yom Kippurim, you're right, he would disagree because he holds, and everyone else holds, besides Reb Meir, that you're not like it, umasham, and therefore the halacha of the Mishnah is only like Reb Meir. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah that said, a case of ganav mishal aviv, if someone steals from his father, the tavach hamacha b'chul, and he slaughters and he sells it, and then afterwards his father dies, the halacha is going to be chayv in such a case, dalad vehe. Now, regarding this halacha, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Boi minei Rav Merab Nachman. Rav asked from Reb Nachman the following question. If someone steals an ox that's owned by two partners, and then he slaughters it. Now, then he goes to one of the two partners, and he admits, regarding that guy's portion, his partnership in the ox, he admits what he did. Now, we know the halacha is that Maid Beknas is part of. Someone admits to a penalty, which is what the halacha of Kefal Nal Vehei is, you're exempt from that penalty. So the question is, Mahu, what's the halacha to make him liable to pay to the other partner his portion when that guy brings witnesses to say that this guy stole and slaughtered or sold this animal? As the Gemara explains the question. The Torah tells us that when you do this, you steal and then you slaughter or sell the animal. So the Torah tells us you have to pay chamisha bakar. You have to pay five of the cattle in place of the shor that you stole. Now, chamisha bakar, Amar Rachman, the Torah says you got to pay five cattle, and not five half a cattle, because essentially half you already admitted to. So half you didn't admit to. And they that in that that part in the court you red-handed with two witnesses, that's what you did. And therefore you chayiv kefil and dal vehei. But dal vehei maybe only applies to a full dal vehei, not to half of dal vehei. And therefore you'd be exempt. I did more, maybe no. Chemisha bakam rachman, the Torah tells you, yeah, five cattle you play, because generally you were caught by the whole ox. So you pay five times the amount. But vafil chamisha chatzai bakam, the same thing would apply to five half. In other words, it's always, all the Torah is teaching us that it's a ratio of 5 to 1. Now, when there's half, so you'd be half of that. But it doesn't mean that it's only whole versus half. Maybe it's just saying that it's 5 to 1. And if it's half, it'll be 5 halves to the 1 half. So Malaysa, he said to him, and Nachman responded to Rava, no, Chamisha Bakam Rachman, the Torah says 5 cattle. V'lei Chamisha Chatzoi Bakam, not 5 half a cattle. It can't be half of the portions times 5. If you already admitted to half, you're exempt on even the other half, even though that half you didn't admit to. Now, that Esavei Rava asked to Rav Nachman from the Halacha of our Mishnah that we opened up this discussion with. The Mishnah says, Ganav Mishal Aviv, V'tavach HaMachav, someone steals from his father, then he slaughters it or sells it. V'achkach Meis Aviv, and only after that does his father die. Misham Tishlum Abba V'chamisha, so he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount to the estate for the Genev and Tzvich HaMechir that he did. Now, ask Rava, but V'hahocha Kivin the Meis Aviv, in this case, since once his father dies, K'mesha Kodam V'hoi Dila Echad Mehem Dami, it's as if that this son, after his father's death, it's as if he went and admitted his guilt to one of the partners. Why? Because he's one of the inheritors. So he knows himself that he did it. So it's like he admitted to himself that he did it. So he's like admitting to one of the partners. And yet still, the Mishnah tells us that he's going to be chayv to pay 4 or 5 times the amount, meaning not the partnership that he has with the rest of his brothers, because he's not paying to himself. He admitted to himself already. But you see, to the rest of his brothers, he's going to have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount, even though it's only chatzai bakar, it's not the whole thing, because to himself he already admitted. So that refutes what you said. So Amalei, Rav Nachman said, no, what we're talking about over here is of bedin. It's not just that he stole it and slaughtered and then the father died. The father, before he died, actually brought his son to court. And in the court, they made him liable for the theft and the stealing or the selling, which he's already chayiv for entire dal vehei. Now, of course, when his father dies, okay, so he's not going to pay it himself, but the liability is already there. It was already a full-fledged chamisha bakar. It's not that the liability was in the chamisha chatzoyi bakar. Now, in this answer, Rav Nachman, Rava asked, wait a second. Avaloyam et bedin mai. But what are you going to say? If the father didn't take him to court, what would that locha be? You would seemingly be in agreement that ain't misham teshul ma'abar v'chamisha, that he wouldn't be paying 4 or 5 times the amount, because then it would be like no one took him to court yet, and before witnesses come, he would be admitting to himself, which you said when you admit to one of the partners, then you're exempt on the rest too, because it cannot be chamisha chatzoi bakar. But if that's the case, ihachi adatani seifa, then the seifa, which our Mishnah on Daf Ayin contrasts a lot with the Mishnah, which we call the seifa on Daf Ayin Dal, which says the flip sides of these cases, which then you would be patur on Dal Vehei. So the seifa says this case a little bit differently. It says ganav mishal av v'meis. Someone steals from his father, and then the father dies. And then after the father was dead, then he slaughtered or sold it. Then the Mishnah says, "Eina mishan teshlam avar chamisha." Then he wouldn't be liable for dal behe. So ask Rava, "Niflig bididei." According to your interpretation, why do you have to go and switch the case? That it wasn't that the father died after he slaughtered, that the father died before he slaughtered, then he'd be exempt. But you could even differentiate in our case of the Mishnah itself and show that he would be exempt. Because you could say, when did we say that if he slaughters the animal he stole from his father? That is chayv dal vehei. That's only kisha amad bedin when his father brought him to court. Avaloi amad bedin, but if he didn't take him to court, even though it was the same order, that the father died only after he slaughtered it, still the guy would not have to pay dal vehei, because like you described it, because he's admitting to himself, and then he's not going to be chayv chamisha chatzoi bakar. Why switch around the case when you could say in the case itself, which is always a bigger chiddush? So Amalei, Rav Nachman responds, he says, Achanami, you're right. It could have been even in such a case, even in the case itself of our Mishnah. But I did the nas of Reisha, but since the Reisha, meaning our Mishnah, said it, in this order of Ganav Mishal Aviv, V'tavach HaMach of Achkach Meis Aviv, it said that was the primary halacha, that since he stole from his father, then slaughtered and sold it, and then his father died, so nas of Seifa Nami. So the Seifa also, in the corollary ways of illustrating the halacha, it said it just kept that uniformity regarding the variable of the father's death and then put that in middle. But you're right, it didn't have to say like that. It could have kept the same case and said it by medvav amurim. It just, in simpler way, it said it that, in other words, when you have where he didn't do the tvich mechira in sin, then he's going to be exempt from dal dehe. But truthfully, he says you're right. It could have said it in that way too. Now let's safra omale. But in the morning, Rav Nachman said to Rava that actually chamisha baka am rachmana. That actually, when the Torah says he has to pay five cattle for the one that he stole. The truth is that it's not like I told you yesterday. It's even that you'd be chayev dal vehei for the half of the chatzai baka. Meaning, even if you admit to one partner, you'd still be chayev for the other partner. And that this, I didn't tell you this last and in the evening, meaning then I told you that you're actually exempt by chamisha chatzai baka. It has to continue on top of vine, bezem, and aleph. Because I didn't eat the meat of an ox. I didn't eat good meat the previous night. Which Taisa says that because he was actually fasting, so he couldn't think clearly. Which Rashi says is more of a mashal. It's a metaphor of saying that I wasn't precise in my analysis of the halacha, which is like Torah is compared to meat. That's what he meant when he said I didn't eat the meat. I mean, I didn't really chew it well. I didn't go through the sugi well enough, and that's why I said. But really, the halacha is that it would apply even by chamisha chatzari bak. So then the Gemara asks, "Bela maishna resha." Then what's the difference in the halacha of our mishnah? When he slaughtered when the father was still alive, u'mashna seifa, and then what's the difference in the case of the seifa when he slaughtered after his father was dead? And that is, since now we're explaining that the halacha of our resha is that even when the father didn't bring him to court, the Torah tells us that when the liability of chamisha bakar is even by chamisha chatzai bakar, even if you only owe to some of the partners, even though the other halves you're not going to be chayiv for, still you're going to be chayiv v'dal v'hei. So then what's the difference in the case of the seifa? When his father dies and then he slaughters it or sells it, he didn't own the whole animal, even after his father's death. It's shared upon the inheritance of all the other brothers. So you write his portion, he's not obviously not going to be chayav dal vehei, but his brother's portions, why is he not chayav dal vehei? For their portions, which they inherited from their father. He stole from the father, and now they continued that inheritance from the father. Now when he's slaughtering their portion, it should be chayav dal vehei on the chatzai baka, which we say that Reb Nachman's agreeing now that there is a liability, as we see in the halacha of Aresha. So Malaysia, regarding that, Rav Nachman responded, no. Reisha, Karina Be Utvache. Regarding the halachic case of our Mishnah, you could qualify it as Utvache, which we referenced this halacha previously. That Utvache means you entirely slaughtered the animal in sin, which is Kule Bisura. All of it is in sin. Because that's the case of the Reisha. The case of the Reisha is that he slaughtered before the father even died. So the father still owned it. Now, although we're saying that you could be exempt technically in certain cases, but when you slaughtered entirely in sin because it was still the father's. Now, seifa lekarina be'utvache kula be'isur. Regarding the seifa, although you're right, that maybe half of the animal is still owned by other people, and therefore you would want to say that he slaughtered in sin to be chayv chamisha chatzai bakar, that's only regarding the payment could be even chamisha chatzai bakar. But the sin of the slaughtering has to be entirely in sin. Utvacha, you have to slaughter it. The entire thing has to be slaughtered in sin. You don't have that in the case of the seifa. In the case of seifa, the father died before he slaughtered. So he already owned part of the animal. So although regarding the brother's shears, that was slaughtered in sin, but his own portion wasn't slaughtering in sin, and therefore wasn't entirely a sin in the slaughtering. That's why he cannot be chayav dal dehe. Again, in contrast to halacha of our Mishnah, where although in the payment, maybe the payment it's not entirely their bakar, because he owns part of it too, because there was no hamad b'din, and it's like he's admitting to himself, that doesn't make a difference. Because there the liability is even on the chamisha chatzari bakar, but when it was slaughtered, that was before his father died, that was entirely in sin, and that's why that makes him liable for tvacha. And then regarding the payment, yes, even though by the time the payment rolls around, he owns part of it, and it's only chamisha chatzari bakar, that's why Rav Nachman retracted in the morning, he said that the liability of chamisha bakar is not just for entirely bakar, but even for chamisha chatzari bakar.